This should not be this hard. Oh my goodness. Just stop talking.
What's up, guys? Welcome to this week's episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm Brady Leonard.
I'm Josiah Hughes. We got a lot to go over this week, don't we, Brady?
Too much. Too much.
A lot went down while I was in California.
Yeah, and actually, we fooled you guys. We actually did not do a podcast last week. We pre-recorded the episode with Yasmin, which, by the way, that was an awesome episode.
Incredible.
We got a lot of good feedback from it. We thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
But, yeah, we kind of fooled you. We recorded that 2 weeks ago. So we haven't been in studio recording for 2 weeks, and the world went to hell. Coincidentally, as soon as Josiah left town, Puerto Rico was wiped off the map, and we had the worst mass shooting in American history. I don't know if you're the common thread there, or if you have some explaining to do.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, it must all be the Matrix, and nothing else is real. I don't know. That's the only explanation I could come up with.
I always assume that nothing is real in the Matrix. So, do you want to just jump into the sad news of the week? Last week, we did have the deadliest mass shooting in American history in Las Vegas. The shooter's name was Stephen Paddock, 64-year-old man from Nevada. Opened fire from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel onto a crowd of people at a country music festival. Jason Aldean was performing at the time. He killed 58 people and wounded over 500 more. Just an insane amount of carnage. I mean, not a lot of facts are out. I mean, they had something like 20 guns at his home and in the room, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. I'm looking forward to seeing more facts come out, because a lot of stuff doesn't make any sense, but just a horrible tragedy all around.
Yeah, this tragedy, I was actually about to get on a plane to fly to Vegas. I was going to stop in Vegas when you texted me, told me about this. And the more I look at it, the more I think about it, and I did spend, like probably most people in the country, I spent a long time thinking about it. And this makes no sense at all. Of all the shootings and even the murders that have happened, like, unless more information comes out to clarify some things, this shooting and this that was committed by this individual, Stephen Paddock, makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense for someone who has no history of violence to premeditate something secretly to the point where it takes years of preparation without anybody knowing, without talking about it, to secretly be a complete nihilist and have a begrudge existence and live that long without killing yourself, and then decide to kill as many people as possible, that which had to be prepared for a long period of time. And if you're a nihilist and all you want to do is kill people, then why wait? Why do you prepare so long just so that you can be more effective? And then to do it and not have any mission statement, and not say anything as to the reason or the cause, to not be affiliated with any group, to not have any intentions. Like, this is just the strangest thing I think I've ever, like, it's the one thing that I just cannot wrap my head around, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, an insane person doesn't go through all that. A rational person doesn't go through all that. A nihilistic person doesn't go through all that. A radicalized person doesn't go through all that. It just doesn't fit any sort of category of any shooting that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and what you said before we started recording was spot on, that, like, every terrorist attack or every mass shooting ever throughout history, you can really, like, you understand what the person was trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, they left a manifesto or some kind of, you know, they made it clear their intentions or their ideology or something. And there seems, you know, obviously the FBI and they're investigating this, but they have no idea what the motive could be. They have no idea why this man did this. You know, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, you know, we're not, like, going into, like, any crazy theories or anything, but, you know, I do want, I'm looking forward to seeing more information on this shooting. There's a lot that just doesn't add up. You know, I've seen a lot of conspiracy theories online and heard people talking about it, like, they're, you know, there's a second shooter, or, like, he must have been working with this group or that group or whatever. And then, like, you know, ISIS said that they claimed responsibility for him and said the guy converted to Islam or whatever. Like, but I mean, ISIS claims responsibility for everything because it helps them with their recruitment, and there's no information that backs that up. Like, there's no, you know. So I'm waiting to see more information, man. Like, there's got to be some motive that comes out so people can at least, like, rationalize this.
You can't keep a motive Like, if you're that intent on something, you can't keep a motive secret for that long. Because it for sure took a very long time for this guy to accumulate the equipment that he did, the illegal equipment that he did. This a guy with no criminal background. I don't know if he had any sort of drug use background, but it's not exactly... It is easy to get an illegal firearm if you know the right people. But you don't know the right people if you're just a clean-cut guy that never talks to anybody and occasionally goes to Vegas. That's not going to happen. I don't know. There's something going on that we don't know about. There has to be, one way or another. Otherwise, this just makes no sense to me. It doesn't fit with any of my ideas of psychology, why someone would go through the lengths of preparation that this person did in order to cause the mass amount of maximum amount of casualties with no benefit to himself whatsoever. And thus his idea was just to go down in infamy in history, but even then he would have been vain enough to write a manifesto. Or at least a note. And so I don't understand. So yeah, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't particularly like conspiracy theories because usually it's driven by all this confirmation bias and like all these external things that kind of direct how it goes. It's usually not driven on facts, and there are no facts. But honestly, dude, if anybody was going to be left at the scene in a false flag sort of scenario, this guy's the perfect candidate. So I hate to say it because I'm not a conspiracy theory guy and I don't think this was a conspiracy theory, but I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I believe that. Yeah. I'm not trying to, like, this isn't, you know, InfoWars or something, but right. Like, you're like, if there was the perfect blank slate candidate to just, you know, he was like a gambler, like a wealthy gambler and stuff with no criminal history, passed all his background checks. It's just somebody to leave at the scene of the crime. You know, if this guy acted alone and he was just a madman that snapped and wanted to kill a bunch of people and that's all there is, like, that's believable, I guess. I mean, he'd be the first mass shooter in history to not have like a motive, I guess, you know, yeah. But like,
usually people snap, they snap and then they do something. They don't snap and then plan something for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll just have to wait, you know, wait and see what new information comes out. Obviously, just praying for everybody in Vegas, man. Like, that's a lot of people dead. That's a lot of people that are wounded. The death toll will probably rise if we're looking at 500 more people that have been injured. It's just a horrible, horrible tragedy, man. One thing that was phenomenal that night in Vegas was, Josiah, did you see the picture of the man holding a beer, flicking off the shooter?
That man in the Mandalay Bay,
balls of steel.
Yes, yes.
Everyone else around him is taking cover, and he is just flipping the shooter off as a hail of gunfire is coming down on him.
That was a bizarre scenario watching the footage because no one was even fleeing. Everyone was just taking cover. Fire was coming from an elevated position. Everyone was literally sitting ducks. And if you're trapped in the middle of the crowd and they're not fleeing, how are you going to get out? Wild, man. Like, worst case scenario for somebody sitting on the ground. And that guy just stands up. He just goes, "F you," with his American beer and his American shirt. Listen to his American music. His
middle finger.
His American middle finger saying, "Screw you, man."
It's about as America as it gets.
Yeah.
So this might not be, you know, absolutely scientific, but I try to keep track. I put a stopwatch on and kept track of this. It took about 6 seconds for this tragedy to be politicized, which is actually long. I mean, I thought it'd be 3 seconds. Usually it's about 3 seconds for a tragedy to be politicized, but it took about 6 seconds this time, I think because it was late at night.
The political commentators had to Google words like gun, you know, and understand what they were.
Yeah, I mean, every politician, at least every Democratic politician, and then every person in the media and in Hollywood, and especially in this case, late night comedians, because
obviously they know everything.
Apparently somebody overthrew the government and made Jimmy Kimmel emperor. Like, his feelings are supposed to drive policy in this country. The feelings of Jimmy Kimmel are supposed to replace the Constitution. Just scrap the Bill of Rights. Just the Bill of Feelings written by Jimmy Kimmel.
The Bill of my particular feelings at this time.
So let's just play a clip. And oh, and by the way, this clip that we're about to play is from the Washington Post, and like, they posted this in a positive light, like saying, look how awesome these late night comedians are for wanting to take away guns. Like, this was like an article from Washington Post that was portraying these guys in a positive light, just to add an extra layer of comedy to the entire situation. Want to play the clip?
Well, hello everyone. Here we are again in the aftermath of another terrible, inexplicable, shocking, and painful tragedy, this time in Las Vegas, which happens to be my hometown and Cleto's hometown, Cleto Sr.'s hometown. Who thinks that makes sense? Them, I guess, the people who voted with the NRA. Maybe I'm nuts, but I would like to think we can put politics aside and agree that
he's pointing to
no
a picture
American
of
citizen
a bunch of
needs an
senators.
M16 or 10 of them. And maybe that way we don't do this again.
But to Congress, I would just like to say, are there no steps we can take as a nation to prevent gun violence? Or is this just how it is and how it's going to continue to be? Because when you say, which you always say, now is not the time to talk about it, what you really mean is there is never a time to talk about it. And it would be so much more honest if you would just admit that your plan is to never talk about it and never take any action.
This week, Congress is going to vote on deregulating gun silencers. Yeah, because I guess Congress
not
is
a real
thinking
thing.
Gun violence
not
is out of control.
Thing.
How can we make it quieter? Yeah, how can we do that? So, to the people of Las Vegas, I can't give you thoughts and prayers. I can only say that I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we live in a world where there are people who will put a gun before your lives.
President Trump, you've said you wanted to be a transformative president who doesn't care about the way things have always been done in Washington, D.C. This is your chance to prove it. And I mean this sincerely. You do not owe the Republicans anything. You want to make America great again? Do something the last two presidents haven't been able to do. Pass any kind of common sense gun control legislation that the vast majority of Americans want.
Vast majority of Americans do not want super restrictive gun laws. That's a fact. And all right, there's a lot of inaccurate, not just inaccurate, just lies in there. Do you want to just, we can go through a few of them?
Yeah, let's just roll them off.
Yeah. All right. I want to go to the silencers thing that the, what's his name? I don't know. The vaguely
guy.
British guy.
No, South African guy. Yeah. Noah, South Trevor Noah.
Yeah. Yeah, vaguely British.
South African. Yeah, same thing. <You know?
laughs> British-ish. So he talked about the silencers. And obviously Hillary Clinton, who's always all class, that's why she is president right now, tweeted this right after the tragedy in Vegas. This is a quote from Hillary Clinton's Twitter. The crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get. There's no such thing as a silencer. That's a made-up word. There's nothing that can silence a gun. This isn't James Bond. You don't screw a silencer on, and then it sounds like pew, 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 pew. That's just not what it does. Okay, they're called suppressors, and what a suppressor is supposed to do is hopefully make it so you don't destroy your eardrums if you're forced to fire a firearm indoors. The average decibel rate for a 45 handgun is 160 decibels, which is above the limit of 150 decibels that will cause permanent damage to your ears. Okay, a suppressor brings it down from 160 to about 140, which, Josiah, you know that that's still extremely loud. 140 yeah. decibels is not
like,
quiet.
That was like my drummer's snare drum.
Yeah. I mean, a lawnmower is about 100 decibels. So, like a riding lawnmower is about 100 decibels. So, no, it wouldn't have caused more casualties if the guy had a suppressor. Please. People say suppressor, not silencer. Don't just make up things that don't exist. You know, facts matter. So that's the first thing. Another thing, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Josiah. All they keep saying is stuff like, do something. Congress, do something. Why don't they do something? Common sense gun laws. Common sense. What do they want?
They want laws that already exist, like illegal automatic weapons and restrictions on things like drum clips and things that this guy had that were legal. They want... Like, the stuff they're talking about is already illegal. And they're talking about common sense. What's that supposed to mean? Like, at what point is it common sense? I mean, you gotta explain to me. I mean, if you don't even know, like this, like Jimmy Kimmel saying, what, he had 40 M16s or something like that. He didn't have any M16s. He doesn't even know what an M16 is.
No, he does
like,
not.
Nobody who's calling for gun control even knows anything about guns. So that would help if we could at least be talking about the same thing. A silencer doesn't exist. They're called suppressors. They lower the volume a little bit. So at least let's talk about this. I mean, if you're going to make a law, you have to have language that makes sense. Sure, pass a law making silencers illegal. That they don't exist. I don't care. But dude, tell them
I'm
going to
pass a
CNN
law making unicorns illegal too.
Yeah, it doesn't freaking matter. Brady, tell them about the CNN picture where they were talking about bump stock.
Oh man. I should have. All right, I'm going from memory here because I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, we'll get to bump stocks here in a second. But this man, this killer, Stephen Paddock, was apparently the FBI said he had a bump stock on one of his rifles. And what a bump stock is it's a device you put on the butt of your rifle that, like, as the rifle is recoiling and moving back and forth, it is, like, hitting the trigger. It's staying in one spot, and the trigger is hitting this bump stock, basically, from what I understand. And it's kind of pseudo-turning your semi-automatic rifle into an automatic rifle. Okay, so CNN is trying... CNN, who... Obviously, there's no one at CNN that knows anything about guns or knows what an AR-15 is. So there's this graphic saying, this is an AR-15 with a bump stock. And I don't know what kind of rifle it was. I don't know if it was an M16 or like a 223 or something. But it was some rifle that was not an AR-15. And it also had a grenade launcher under the main barrel.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did not have a bump stock. It was just an automatic military-grade rifle with a grenade launcher and no bump stock. The CNN graphic is AR-15 with bump stock. So it's like these people, and these are all elites from New York, Washington, and Los Angeles who have never fired a gun. They've never gone through the background check. They've never purchased a firearm. They don't know anything about guns. Could anybody at CNN just like shoot a text to anyone who's been in the military? Just like, hey, man, what is this gun we're about to put on air in front of a million people? You know what I mean? It's like, it's incredible. Another thing they keep saying is the gun, this is anytime there's a shooting, gun show loophole. Got to get rid of the gun show loophole. Just like a silencer, the gun show loophole does not exist. This is a fantasy of the left. If you buy a firearm in the United States, you need to go through a federal background check. I've bought a gun. I'm a gun owner. I had to go through the federal background check. If you buy a gun at a gun show, you also need to go through the same federal background check that you have to go through a gun dealer. It's just false. It's just a talking point that they say. They're words. There's words coming out of their mouth, but the words don't make any sense, and they're just lying to you. The lack of just knowledge of guns in general from the media is just astounding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make unicorns illegal, and let's just go from there.
And then there won't be any more murders.
Okay, yeah, I don't know, man. This is a tough time to talk about gun control. I mean, we're talking about the worst mass shooting in American history. There's nothing positive you can say about it, ever. And we're going to be talking about this for years. You know, I don't really want to make a statement. I don't really want to make a case for gun control this time. But come on, people. Just at least learn what you're talking about.
Yeah, and look, and this is, I want to talk about, before we move on from this topic, there's one more angle I want to talk about here, and that is the Democrats, I really do think, and I'll explain why in a second, and I know that sounds extreme, and I know people said this about Obama, and it wasn't true, and I said at the time it wasn't true about Obama. Obama never did anything to come after anybody's guns, but I think the ultimate goal, not immediate, but the ultimate long-term goal of the Democratic position on guns is to take away guns, confiscate all guns the way that Australia did. And Senator Dianne Feinstein was on, I believe it was Face the Nation on CBS this morning, Sunday morning, talking about how her and, you know, 40 other Democrats are introducing a bill that would ban all bump stocks, right? Which at face value, before you dig deeper into that, like, I don't know if I would be opposed to that based on the simple fact that, like, automatic rifles are illegal. It's illegal to buy a machine gun that is made after 1986, because that's when we outlawed automatic weapons. But it's legal to buy this device that kind of makes your semi-auto fully auto, right? So it's like, for the sake of consistency, shouldn't all automatics be legal or all automatics be illegal? Like, at face value, that's a discussion that I'm completely willing to have.
Right.
I don't know which way I would vote on that, but like, that's a totally reasonable discussion. But look at the source. And Dianne Feinstein also, she said this morning, you know, we're not trying to come after your guns. This is just about, you know, getting rid of bump stocks. Dianne Feinstein, after she got the assault weapon ban in 1995, she was already a senator back then, since she's a career politician. And I mean, you know, she'll be a senator till the day she dies, probably. But, you know, she said she's not trying to come after anybody's guns. This is what she said in 1995. Quote, if I could have gotten 51 votes in the Senate of the United States for an outright ban, picking up every one of them, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, I would have done it, but I couldn't do it. The votes weren't there yet. Unquote. Clearly, this woman who is on TV saying, we just want to ban, make sure all automatics are banned. We just want to ban the bump stock. We're not trying to come after your guns. Said, quote, 20 years ago, yeah, I want to take away your guns, all of your guns.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if you can negotiate with the Democrats on this, knowing that their end game is taking away people's guns. I know that sounds extreme, but these people have said, I mean, they've been transparent about it in the past. They do want to take away your guns.
Yeah. And we'll get to another topic in a little bit later where we talk about why that's important, I think, when we talk about Spain and Catalonia in a minute. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Do you want to talk about Trump, since that's what we got to do every minute of every day, since, you know, we're in America?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the birth control situation that burned down the media this past week. Oh, one more. All right, sorry. I know we're dragging out this guns topic, but just one example on why I think it would be dangerous for Republicans to negotiate with Democrats on gun control stuff is just the example that people have been pointing out. I think this is very poignant. Look at, like, the social issues, which I'm pro-gay marriage. Like, I think gay marriage always should have been legal. But look at the Democrats, they never settle. They don't settle. They never just take a victory lap and celebrate a victory. They just move from one thing onto the next thing, and it snowballs really quick. Okay, so they got, a couple years ago, they finally got gay marriage passed. 2 years later, if you're not okay with a person with a penis taking a piss right next to your 3-year-old daughter, you're a bigot. Okay, I mean, they went from gay marriage to tranny bathrooms in 2 years. 2 years. They could not be like, okay, good, marriage equality for gays. I'm good. Like, I think a lot of conservatives were happy to just finally put that one in the past. Mm-hmm. Nope, they can't celebrate that. They move right on to tranny bathrooms. So it's like, I'm scared to negotiate with Democrats or terrorists or Democrats, you know, negotiating with people with extreme views. I just don't know, man. If you look at how they treat the social issues like that, how quickly it escalates and snowballs, I just don't know, man. I just don't know if you can really give an inch to them. I don't know. Any last thoughts on that before we move on? I know we've been talking about this for too long.
I don't know, man. I don't really know if conceding on the bump stock thing is going to make it a snowball effect. I think you got to call them like you see them. Making the bump stock illegal isn't necessarily going to keep someone from getting it or being able to make an automatic weapon or modify a weapon to be automatic. The problem about guns is that the technology has been around for hundreds of years, and it's not like as complicated as making an atomic bomb or something. You know, it's not difficult to make weapons of mass destruction. It's not difficult to kill masses of people, unfortunately, in many different ways. So, unfortunately, even this measure, even if you could eliminate any possibility of an individual coming up with a automatic weapon, it's not going to make everyone safe. Then again, I don't really have a dog in the fight. I don't own a weapon with a bump stock. I don't really care. I don't even think it necessarily gives you a tactical advantage if you were in a militia situation. Who knows? It doesn't even really give you a tactical advantage unless you just have a shit ton of ammunition laying around, you're in a set position, and you're putting down suppressive fire. That's the only reason why, and you don't have a weapon that's more suited for it. You don't have belts, things like that. That's the only reason it would ever be tactically beneficial, even in a war situation. So the U.S. military, their guys, they aren't running around fully automatic. That'd be dumb, because ammo weighs a ton. It's not like a video game where you shoot 130 rounds a second and you're just pick up another box. You carry all that ammo around, you can't move. So... You know,
our soldiers aren't not as strong as Master Chief from Halo,
yeah,
contrary exactly. to popular belief.
Yeah. So you can't, it's not really, my point of view is just take it as it comes, you know, just probably be unbiased as you go. I wouldn't really be opposed to making bump stocks illegal. But again, at
face
that
value,
my opinion,
I don't know if I
else.
Would either, but I just, you know, people like Dianne Feinstein and these anti-gun types, I mean, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, you know? So I think that's the...
Obviously not, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. No more guns. No more guns for the day. Trump is expanding religious exemptions from the federal employer mandates under Obamacare, specifically regarding birth control. So right now, it's federally mandated that all employers need to provide free birth control for their employees, even if they're, you know, for instance, Catholic, who Catholics do not believe in birth control. Right. So if you're a Catholic business owner, you are forced at gunpoint from the government to pay for your employees' birth control. That is in direct contradiction to your religious beliefs. That's super evil to make somebody do that. That is just not right. That's unconstitutional. That makes absolutely no sense. Good on Trump for getting rid of this. You know, we blast Trump when he's wrong. We compliment him when he's right. Good on Trump. Hashtag make America great again. This is a very good move. It's a good move, man. Predictably.
I think that's the nicest thing I've said about Trump in a long time.
Predictably, the left just lost their minds. I mean, they went into full stage 5 meltdown, Chernobyl-style meltdown. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, they're saying Trump is waging a war on women. You know, he's trying to, you know, make it impossible to, for women to get birth control and taking away, quote unquote, access to birth control. I mean, they completely jumped the shark on this. Birth control is very inexpensive. Even if you don't have insurance, it's super cheap. You can get birth control for like $10 a month at Walmart. Ladies, just take responsibility. Have one less Appletini at the bar per month and go buy birth control. Or have your boyfriend or husband go to Planned Parenthood or something and just get a handful of free condoms.
Wow, that's super sexist, Brady.
Yeah, it is. That's me, Mr. Sexist. This is just a common sense thing that, you know, it's common sense religious liberty, Josiah. Like, and but anytime liberty is returned to people, it's a good thing for all people, not just religious people. The net liberty gain is good for all liberty. Like, that's the thing. Anytime people regain more liberty from their government, I will applaud that.
Yeah. Liberty is equally shared between all people.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about it. Whereas laws discriminate one person versus the other. So that's why you pretty much always go with liberty versus more laws, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could go for a few thousand less laws in this country for sure. So this is a baby step in the right direction. All the people melting down over this, they can just, I don't know.
Or like you said, just tell your boyfriend to get a condom. Just go, they're free. Planned Parenthood, just go get them.
It really drives me crazy that the left uses the word access for this. They said, you know, Trump is trying to take away access to birth control. This word they're using, I'm not sure they know what it means.
You keep saying that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Like, dude, you have access to buy a giant mansion on Jack's Beach. Like, there's no law saying a 28-year-old musician can't buy a mansion on Jack's Beach, but you don't have the money to pay for that mansion, so it ain't going to happen anytime soon. But there's no laws on the book saying you can't do it, so you do have access. I mean, that, like, access does not mean it's a huge, like, no, I'm sorry.
Access is like beach access. Like, when you go to the beach, it says beach access. That's what access means.
Doesn't mean the beach comes to you for free. Well, in Jacksonville, with all these hurricanes, it just might. Might come right to you. But no, I mean, unprotected sex with absolutely no consequences is not a human right provided by the government.
You are an organism.
Themselves.
You are an organism. Don't forget it.
Don't forget it, people. All right. Do you want to move on to something that we know very little about?
first off, yeah, access. I just want to point out.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe saying access, the mansion analogy might offend some people. Let's just say something that you can get, but maybe you have access to the new iPhone. Am I going to spend $1,000 on the new iPhone? Hell no. I got a $100 phone. It's got 3-day battery life and I can put an SD card in it. So I don't have to delete my podcast because
the iPhone 7 has like a 1-hour battery life.
I have access to an iPhone, but I'm not an idiot. I'd rather just buy a cheap phone and have money for other things. You have access to birth control. All right. That's all I got to say. It's not expensive. It's not hard to get. It's not necessarily anyone's responsibility to buy it for you.
And nobody is going to go broke paying for birth control, by the way.
No.
It is very inexpensive. It is extremely cheap. I mean, anybody that says otherwise just doesn't know what they're talking about.
All right. Sorry. Sidetracked you there.
So let's go to an international topic that will surely expose
these are my favorite.
Our lack of knowledge on the topic itself. My favorite part of these podcasts, of course, is just exposing how ignorant we are to international affairs. So take us away, Josiah.
Yes, we are going to talk about Spain and more specifically Catalonia, which probably 90% of America did not know existed until probably a few days ago. Catalonia, which is in the northeastern part of Spain, bordering France. It contains Barcelona, which is its biggest city and its capital, which is kind of like having a state. I guess it was similar to being a state in Spain. It contains a few different provinces. Provinces are like city regions, kind of, in most countries. They just had a referendum to vote on independence from Spain. Now, Catalonia has a rich history of their own. They actually have their own language, which was made illegal back in the day by the fascist dictator of Spain back in World War II. So since then, they've kind of had a very strong they've had a lot of pride in their heritage because it has a rich history. They have their own language. Now they have their own police force. They have their own parliament. Which I don't know. I mean, it's probably kind of like states here have their own Senate. So it's probably similar to that.
So they have their own language.
Once again, Once again, showing our ignorance of foreign affairs. But anyway, they've had a referendum, and despite the Spanish police beating the crap out of and injuring 844 people attacking the polls and people involved in the referendum beforehand, still, they had a pretty good turnout, and I think it was about 90% of people voted to secede from Spain and form a republic in Catalonia. Now, none of us in America saw this coming, but actually they had a referendum back in 2014, and constitutional courts in Spain voted it down because it was a similar situation back then. And since then, Catalonia has been voting people into their parliament who are pro-secession. So this has actually been boiling over for a while. Catalonia is the wealthiest state, or I guess you could say part of Spain. And they're doing better. I mean, Spain's been doing bad economically for a long time, and Catalonia's been doing all right. It's pretty, you know, if I was to visit Spain, I'd go to Catalonia. I mean, it's the coolest part.
Yeah, Barcelona looks pretty dope. I believe they have 16% of Spain's population and like 21%, I believe, of their GDP. So it is, you know, they feel like, and Barcelona is the richest city in Spain. So they do feel like, since Spain is in a depression right now, they're probably tired of kind of propping up Spain's floundering economy.
Yeah, and they have their own language. They kind of, like I said, they have a lot of like pride in their heritage, and you know, people might not know, but Spain actually hasn't really been a country a unifying country for as long as some of the other European countries. But the Spanish police just brutalize these people coming out to the polls, beat the crap out of them, and deemed it illegal. The Spanish, he's a prime minister, right? He came up and said that he said a bunch of things that weren't true. Like, he said that the referendum never happened. He congratulated all the police officers for doing their duty and creating peace. You can just flash back and forth between videos of them beating the crap out of people for walking down the street. It was a mess
100 years ago, but with the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
I just don't get that. It seems like a strange move to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's very effective. Not very. It looks like they're handling the situation very poorly. What do you think, Brady?
I don't really know what we're supposed to think about this.
Yeah, right? Are they the good guys or are they bad guys?
I was reading this about this all morning because it's super interesting. I was reading about the history of Catalonia, and Catalonia has gone to war with the rest of Spain like 8 times in the last like 500 years. I mean, it's happened over and over that they've had these small civil wars. And, you know, I don't know, like, I don't really know if this is good or bad. Part of me feels like you should be able to vote your way out of a country, and if you want to, right? If you get 90% popular vote to leave, like, I don't know. But I don't know how that works. And then they have the extra layer of being involved in the European Union, which is this other like layer of bureaucracy and
right
in terms of trade and everything else. So who knows how that would even, like, how that would look like, if it's probably not going to happen. But if Spain, because the Spanish government, the prime minister of Spain would have to let them leave, right? I mean, Catalonia does not have its own army, so they can't.
They don't have guns. They have their own police department, yeah, but they're not going to, then they, you know, their fire department's not going to beat the Spanish army.
Yeah. And the citizens aren't armed because they're not allowed to own guns.
Yeah. So it's going to have to be Spain letting them go, which they're the ones that have all the money. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, not gonna
so
happen.
It's probably not going to be pretty. Judging by how they handled this, they're just going to create more and more disdain for the Spanish government within Catalonia. The only reason I know anything about Catalonia is, well, there's two reasons. I spent most of my time as a kid playing games like Medieval Total War. That's pretty much my entire childhood. And also, I watched a lot of football, as I call it. And FC Barcelona is kind of the heroes of Catalonia. And whenever, like at a certain time during each game, they have a chant screaming for secession from Spain during their
game.
Aggressive. They literally have the colors are Catalonian colors. They have the fan. It's like, I think it's 100,000 people in these stadiums. It's packed every single game. They have all the Catalonian flags. Recently, they screamed over the top of the Spanish national anthem so that no one could hear it. It's like the people there are serious. The stakes aren't as high as in other places of the world. Like, I don't understand. Their reasons for secession are probably more cultural than, like, it's not like they're in a particularly deeper bind than anyone in Spain. They just feel like they deserve to be their own country, which I can't say anything about. I can't comment on that. That's not my business. I'm an American. I grew up in Thailand. I don't know anything about Spain. But, you know, but at the same time, these people are serious, man.
So can we take away from this, you know, that perhaps, call me crazy, you know, if we all decide that a government has become tyrannical, it is probably important that, unlike the people in Catalonia, that we maintain a well-armed populace?
Yes.
Maybe taking away people's guns isn't good?
All right. Let me talk about another example of something that's going on right now in the world that cements that fact, okay? And right now in Kurdistan, which is the northern part of Iraq, people don't know this, but Kurds are hated by all other countries in the Middle East. Iran.
Which, by the way, before you explain, like, let me just get this out there. What's going on right now with the Kurds versus the rest of the country of Iraq is going to have serious consequences all across the Middle East.
Yes.
With relations with Iran, with relations with Iraq.
This is going to affect the rest of world history.
This is going to have a ripple effect across the entire Middle East, not only for the people living there and the people who are probably going to die in this conflict, but also with America, our interests there, and our interests throughout the region. I mean, this is a much bigger deal than, yeah. I know people are talking about like Trump versus the NFL and stuff like that, but this actually does matter. Yeah, go ahead.
This is literally going to have an effect on the rest of world history. Happens here. Or it could just be another repeat of history, in which case the Kurds get absolutely massacred or beat down, and then just boils over to another time. But what's happening is there's an ethnic group in the Middle East called the Kurds, which we've all heard about since they've been our allies in several military excursions in the Middle East. They are generally, according to my brother, who was just there, he was telling me that the Kurds he worked with were not really, they weren't as aggressive and radical in their religious views as other factions. They weren't as murderous, as we were saying, in their religious beliefs. And
I believe socially too, like Kurdish women don't wear like the head stuff.
Right. Yeah. They're socially much more people. Lenient, like in general, from what I'm hearing. But they're also, that might just be because they've been persecuted by every other Muslim since the end of World War I, which where they were denied a state when the, you know, Brits kind of like carved up the Ottoman Empire. So there's
you
a bunch
get a
of Kurds.
State, you get a state, you get a state, Oprah style.
That sucks for you.
You get a state, Kurds, go F yourself.
Yeah, go F yourself. Actually, let the Iranians and Turks kill you all. Yeah. So that's what's been going on for the last couple hundred years. Did I do the math right? Probably not.
100 years.
Turkey is worried about the Kurds, so they've been killing them for a long time. Iran hates the Kurds. They've been killing them for a long time. Saddam Hussein, if you don't remember, in Iraq, massacred a bunch of Kurds. So they just want to have their own state so they don't have to die. Like, literally, yeah. My brother was telling me, if you're a Kurdish man and you want to go to the capital of Iraq, your own country, someone could just kill you with no consequences. Somebody just decide to murder you, and they probably will if they find out you're a Kurd, and there's no consequences because you're a Kurd. So, and these are both Muslim people. There's not like any particular difference. It's just that their ethnic background is Kurdish. And so they have a right to want to have their own country. All right. Sorry, I got a little tangent there. But anyway,
no, it's right.
We're going to have my brother on at some point, and he's going to actually explain this a little better than me because he was just there in Iraq. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is there is no gun control in the Middle East because, you know, they've been killing each other for thousands of years. And you can just go to the market and buy an AK-47 and a hand grenade. So they can't control that kind of stuff. The states aren't really like in enough power except for like maybe in Dubai or something. But anyway, the Kurds have their own army. And everybody there's got a weapon. So despite the fact that Iran, Turkey, and Iraq are all in a coalition to eliminate the possibility of a Kurdish state, which by the way, they just passed a referendum saying they wanted to leave Iraq and become their own state. Sorry, I glossed over that. Despite that, Iraq is actually willing to come to the table and negotiate with them instead of just rolling in and killing them all, because the Kurds have a semblance of a military force, so they actually have to take them seriously. The stakes in Kurdistan, northern Iraq, are obviously way higher than they are in Catalonia, all right? Not saying disrespecting anybody in Catalonia. I don't really understand all your grievances with Spain, but in Iraq,
going to war.
No, yeah. They're not going to war. In Iraq, it's a life and death situation. Literally, the Kurds... My brother was telling me they're ready to go to war with everybody. They're ready to go to war with Iraq and Turkey and Iran all at the same time. They're ready to die because they've been wanting this for, you know, generations. They've been wanting to have their own land. their own state.
Yeah, and they've been persecuted for this over 100 years. And the thing is, you know, and I'm, like I said, I'm not that educated on this topic, but the Kurds have had our back in every conflict in the Middle East we've ever been involved in.
Yeah.
And we've never had their back. The Western world, as it seems like the Kurds come down on the side of the West every single time, and then we just leave them hanging when they need our help. And look, we have a major stake in Iraq right now, in the Iraqi government that is in power right now.
Right.
We've propped them up. We've helped them hold elections and this, that, and the other.
And we have to. Otherwise, guess
what?
Are
we going to do it Iran's again? Are we going to leave the Kurds hanging again?
Probably.
Just let them be slaughtered again? Probably. I mean, if history is any indicator, the West will leave the Kurds hanging, and they are going to get their ass kicked again. And it's like these people have been through the ringer, man. And I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about it, but I feel like there's something that the United States should be doing to help these people. I think if anybody deserves their own state at this point, it would be them. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that the West is going to come to their allies' aid, you know, in their time of need this time.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I will probably talk about more of that. That more in the future, but I guess that was kind of a dark transition. I was trying to communicate the difference between the reason for gun control, and kind of got out of hand a little bit. I just totally rambled for like 15 minutes.
Sorry. I like guns. For the record. If you didn't get that from the rest of this podcast, I'll just put that on the record right now. So we'd like to end the podcast with something positive, but I can't do that this week. I'm going to end it with something else negative. Hopefully, Josiah, you have something positive. Man, Tom Petty died this week.
Oh, gosh.
Tom Petty. The late, great Tom Petty. He was 66 years old. He died after being rushed to the hospital in full cardiac arrest a few nights ago. Man, this one bummed me out, dude. Yeah. I love Tom Petty. My band, we've covered I Won't Back Down. You know, we played it right before our single, Easy Way Out, because it has like strikingly similar lyrics. and we've covered I Won't Back Down the last couple of years live, and we always get a great crowd reaction out of that. And I've always been, since I was a kid, I've always been a huge Tom Petty fan. He's one of the greatest rock and roll songwriters of all time, even while being like a terrible singer. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have a very good voice, but he's just such a great songwriter. Like he's one of the all-time great songwriters that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like him and Billy Corgan from the Pumpkins, and some of these guys are just such a good writer that it's like that nothing else matters, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. So I listened to a lot of Tom Petty this week. I encourage you guys to listen to some Tom Petty. I mean, he's got, you know, so many songs that every single one of you guys know. So yeah. Just pop in a Tom Petty record. I'm sure you have one. And rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
That one's a bummer. What you got, Joe? Yeah.
I think I'll have two positive things this week to kind of make up for not having a positive thing, Brady.
To make up for death.
Make up for death. I can't do it, but I don't know.
Give it the old college try.
Give it the old college try. I just watched a video of, actually right before we did this podcast, called The Animated History of Spain on YouTube. The Animated History of Spain. It's pretty cool. Gives you a little quick, easy rundown of Spain's history really quickly with little animated cartoons. So it's not painful. And also another thing, if you're not into history, I hate you. Just kidding. There's something that you might like that I watched last night with my wife. If you're in, Brady, do you like watching awful things? That are just, they're so awful that they're great. Are you into that sometimes?
I'm going to need some context to that because maybe. Okay.
Maybe. All right. So my wife is into like weird Asian movies. So no. Yeah, totally. And so we watch this and I'm really into Jackie Chan. So Jackie Chan has this new movie in called Kung Fu Yoga. And what? It is absolutely as awful as it sounds. I was dying because of how, it was so awful. It was awesome.
Dude, I saw he has a new movie coming out, like an actual real movie coming out.
Oh, I saw the preview for that where he's like a badass.
Yeah, well, he's him, you know, from every other movie. But like, it's about like his daughter dies and he has to find out who killed her or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But his daughter's like 5 years old in the movie and that man has to be at least 60 years old.
It can happen.
I mean, yeah, it can. But I'm just saying,
they should
let his characters age a little bit. he's not 40. You know what I mean? Like, they gotta, like,
Jackie
it's okay.
Chan, I freaking love Jackie Chan, man. But he is, like, the most self-deprecating actor. Like, he's just like, yeah, it is what it is. I'm Jackie Chan. Like, he doesn't care. He's like, people just want to see me smile and laugh and do some kung fu moves. and make fun of myself. He's good. Great. At Kung Fu. But anyways, Kung Fu Yoga is awful, but awesome. It was like, there was like multiple time points in watching this movie that I was this close to shutting it off. But at the same time, loving every minute of it. Plus, I had a giant batch of whiskey while I was watching it, drinking a lot of scotch. That made it way better. Me and my wife were just laughing our asses off. If you're into that sort of thing, funny because of how awful it is. And it's Jackie Chan, man. He doesn't take himself seriously. It's great. I don't know. It's on Netflix.
I actually am into intentionally watching the worst movies. Remember, did you ever watch like the Evil Bong series? Uh-huh. It's like a bunch of them. It's a bong that kills people. Do you remember, remember The Greenskeeper? Do you remember?
Sorry. Should I pretend like I know?
No, I'm just thinking of a list of the worst, like the movies that, like me and friends of mine used to go to like Family Video and just look for like the worst low budget movie we could find.
Yeah.
You know? Have you seen the one where the girl has teeth in her vagina and kills
no
men having sex with them and chopping off their penises?
No.
What's that movie called? Oh my gosh. I think it's called Teeth. Oh, dude, you gotta watch it.
I don't know if I can handle that, man.
It's pretty bad. I mean, you gotta be. You have to have some alcoholic wobbly pops before you sit down and watch that. But I'm sorry. I'm, all right, we're getting distracted. My bad. Yeah, go ahead.
That's pretty much all I gotta say about it. It's just a bunch of like, they put like really hot models in all the roles, and then the worst dialogue. And they're trying to like make it multinational. Like it's like kind of like, I don't know if they're trying to go for like a world peace theme or something, but it's like trying to like praise the cultures of all these different countries. I mean, it's got great cinematography. Even though one time they accidentally put like a railing for like, because where they were shooting was like a tourist location. So in the background, there's like a railing just randomly sitting there and there wasn't supposed to be. You know, classic bad movie moves. But it was fun. It was entertaining. It just kept getting better. Cinematography is excellent. They go to Dubai and have a chase with a bunch of Lamborghinis and a lion in the back of his car. It's pretty.
Just great. Not even low budget.
No.
Just high budget and terrible.
The beginning of the movie is like a full on animated. They tried to like just animated battle scenes for like 30 minutes. And it's not an animated movie. It's just.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird all across the board.
I feel like this is a weird episode of the podcast all across the
board. It's 2017, man. Everything's got to be weird. Should we just cut that whole thing out? It was way too long.
Oh, man. Are you got anything? You said you had two things.
That was two things. I said the history of Spain.
Oh, all animated right. History of man. Spain. All right. I was paying attention. I promise.
That's how
I started thinking of all the bad movies that I used
I'm
to watch.
Sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I rambled way too much. I had way too much to say. I had a week off.
It's a weird week. You're the only people who listen to me. It gets weird.
You guys are the only people who listen to me, so I gotta have to talk a lot when I come on.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate you guys listening every single week. We will be back next week. We have John Fitch coming on next week, and that is going to be awesome. MMA legend, world champion, welterweight fighter, former UFC number one contender. He's also a conservative, John Fitch. It's coming on next week. It's going to be dope. Don't miss it. And we appreciate you guys. We love you so much. Thanks for listening to us every week. Please subscribe if you haven't already on iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and good review. If you're not an Apple user, we're on Google Play and SoundCloud and all that good stuff. Follow us on Twitter at No Gimmicks Pod. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for sticking with us. No gimmicks.
No gimmicks.